2 Chronicles chapter 15 is where we're going to start tonight, and then we'll take a look at a couple of passages that go along with this. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, so you'll understand just briefly, when you read 1 and 2 Kings, you are reading what the Lord wants you to know about what was taking place with the kings of Israel and with the kings of Judah. So you're seeing the change in the throne in Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and you're seeing the change of kings in the 2 southern tribes in Judah. That's 1 and 2 Kings. When you get to Chronicles, what you're reading about is you're reading about the kings of Judah only. And there may be some interaction with the kings of Israel, but you're not reading about who came to the throne and when he died and how long he reigned. So that's the difference between those two things. You think sometimes you're reading the same account. You're getting more detail oftentimes on the kings of Judah in Chronicles because these are the chronicles of the kings of Judah, the 2 southern tribes. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, you're reading about something that took place during the reign of King Asa. King Asa is Rehoboam's grandson. Rehoboam is the first king of the 2 southern tribes after they split when Solomon died. And so he's a good king for the most part, and he certainly started out well. And he's being encouraged by a prophet here. So 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Benjamin is the second tribe of that's down there with Judah. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Now here's the verse. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now the encouragement to Asa was this. Listen, y'all sought the Lord, you found him, you've been serving him, and Asa did. And he says, just stay with that. Stay with that. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You know, that's a good verse for us. That's a real good verse for us. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the text. Father, we're so thankful tonight for all these that are gathered here. Great to see these folks on a Wednesday night that have come to pray, to come to hear about missions, to come to sing and enjoy some fellowship together, and who've come to hear something from the Word of God. I pray, Father, you'll really, really encourage these folks tonight, encourage us all, and strengthen us by the words of God, and help us, Lord, to make good application to these things that we're reading. Now, Father, we pray that you'll do that by filling us with your Holy Spirit, and we pray for Tony and the teenagers that he's teaching tonight, for the Bible club workers and all the children they're teaching tonight. We ask you, please, Father, that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit and bless that work so that these children will learn the words of God and will grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So he says, be strong and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You know, we are generally, and I don't think this has changed in human nature, but we are generally the kind of people who can put up with a little bit of hardship for a little while, and then we got to have something to keep us going. We like to be gratified. We don't want to have to wait a long time to see the fruit of our labors. We don't want to have to put up with something for a long time without some compensation or some remuneration. we want somebody to pat us on the back or give us some money or something and tell us that we're doing a good job. And, you know, if your boss kept saying to you every year about the time when you go through your review, you know, you keep that good work up, we're going to give you a raise one of these days, and you've been doing that for 5 years and hadn't seen the raise yet, you know, you get kind of tired of that. Well, so when Azariah comes to King Asa, he says, you know, King, be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. In other words, just keep doing this, and in time, you'll see the benefit of it. God will reward you for what you've done. You know something? Asa, if you read the rest of his life, it didn't work out well for him. It didn't work out well for him. He started out like so many of the kings of Judah. He started out really well. He didn't end so well. What happened is that after he had been reigning for a while, the king of Israel, Baasha, did something that was not really an attack, but it was something that provoked Judah. They went in and in the northern part of the territory of Judah, Baasha built a city there, and that would keep people from Israel going down to Judah and keep people from Judah going up to Israel. It was like a block. And when Asa saw that thing going up, he said, this isn't going to be good. Asa had already fought a fabulous victory against the Ethiopians. The army that Asa had 580,000 soldiers, and the army that Zerah the Ethiopian had 1 million soldiers. They were outnumbered nearly 2 to 1. And Asa relied upon the Lord. He said, O Lord our God, we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. And they won that battle. They won that battle. The Ethiopians were overthrown. They were destroyed before the Lord. And Judah, the men of Judah, spoiled them. So when this thing started with the city that Ramah, that Baasha was building, you know, you would have expected Asa to approach it the same way and say, Lord, we need your help again. But he didn't. What he did is he got treasures out of the house of the Lord, and he contacted King Ben-Hadad, who's the king of Syria, and said, you know what? Break your league with Israel, make a league with me, and go in there and destroy this guy. And so he did. He formed an alliance with an enemy, with the Syrians. And they went in and they knocked out Israel. And boy, that really provoked the Lord. And he sent another prophet to him. He said, you know, back in the old days, you relied upon me. Now you're relying on men. Things aren't going to go well for you. And Asa got really, really mad about that as well. And put the prophet in the prison house. And then, as punishment, he got diseased in his feet. And rather than turn to the Lord, he turned to the physicians and then died in the 41st year of his reign. So it didn't end well. He didn't stay strong. He didn't stay strong. And therefore his work evidently wasn't rewarded the way that the prophet said that it would be. You know what we don't want to do? We don't want to give up on a job well done in the middle of the fight. You may not have sensed any remuneration. That means monetary pay for anything you're doing for the Lord. You may not have sensed anybody patting you on the back to tell you you've done a great job. You may not have sensed any compensation directly from the Lord for all that you've been doing for the Lord. And you might be getting a bit tired of that. And I'm going to tell you the same thing that Azariah told Asa, which is in the Bible here. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. I want to go to the New Testament and show you some work that is rewarded. Who is it that will be rewarded? First of all, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at verses 17 and 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. In your Bible, you find pastors called 3 different things, and that's because the office includes some other things. You find pastors called pastors, You find pastors called bishops, and you find pastors called elders. Here's one of those passages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. That's how glamorous our job is. We're just oxen. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and watch it, the laborer is worthy of his reward. So one category of people who need to be strong and whose hands should not grow weak are pastors who labor in the word and doctrine. Why? Because the laborer is worthy of his, what's the next word there? Of his what? The laborer is worthy of his reward. And he said, for your work shall be rewarded. You know, there's a real, and I want to just put this in a way that will help you. There is something that keeps me motivated in the ministry, and that is that what God has given me to do, I have to give account of. What God has given Randy to do, what he's given Tony to do, what he's given pastors to do, we have to account of this. And our labor, while you've been kind and generous with us to compensate us, our labor really is not for that compensation. Otherwise, it just becomes a job. And when we look at what we do as a work for you and as a job for a paycheck, you know what happens is it changes the nature of what we do. If you can understand what I'm saying, there are preachers today who are very concerned about their relationship with the church because the church is their employer. And so they will treat the job that they have like an employee or a hireling, Jesus Christ called them. Well, they'll get up and go sometimes. Or they'll do things out of fear for not stepping on any toes in the congregation. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Our labor should be in the word and in the doctrine for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be strong and to let not our hands be weak for the sake of what we must do for Him. There are others of you that are in some capacities of a ministry. But let me just say this. Be strong and don't let your hands be weak. You say, what would weaken our hands? There is a tremendous amount of apostasy among Christians today. There are all kinds of pressures upon pastors to change the doctrine of the Bible to accommodate popular belief. We can't let that happen. We can't, like Asa, start out well, trusting God, and then turn it over and then later try to accommodate men and trust men. It just doesn't work. It didn't work for Asa, and it won't work for us. And so as you pray for your pastors, that comes up as a prayer request on Wednesday night. Pray for the pastors and their families. You pray this, that we will be strong and let not our hands be weak, and that we don't succumb to popular pressures that are placed on churches today in order to get up a crowd or go along with the trendy doctrine. We need to stick with the book and serve the Lord. All right, notice then in Colossians chapter 3, another category of those who will be rewarded. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verses 22 through 25. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Notice that word again. Verse 24, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So what's he talking? Who's he addressing here? He's addressing servants. And he says, when you serve in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 22. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, because you're going to receive a reward, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive, the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And there's a possibility of something going wrong. He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. All right, so the next category are those that are employed. Those that are employed. And you know what the Lord is saying? Some of you are finished in school and hope to be employed. Some of you have finished school and you are employed. Some of you were employed and now you're retired. You're tired and you're retired. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. He says, when you are in a position of service, voluntarily, like something you're doing voluntarily in the church, or in employment where you're working for somebody that is your boss, he says, you work for the Lord. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In other words, when you work a job, you get paid, but there's a whole lot more to your job than that paycheck. There is a possibility in your service to be compensated by the Lord when you appear before Him if you do the work that you're doing as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now, you know what he's getting at is this. We could go through some other scripture on it, but you get the point. You're going to work, listen, you're going to be the best employee that the employer has when you treat that job as the job you're doing for God and not the job you're doing for men. There are a lot of things that you have to put up with in work that aren't good, aren't there? I remember when I was in school studying for the ministry, the job I had, I poured concrete. And so I'd drive 45 minutes to an hour to Baymanette, Alabama from Pensacola. And then we'd work. And Ann would buy my clothes for me because this concrete work was nasty. She paid $2 for my pants and $1 for my shirt. She'd go to a used uniform place and buy used uniforms where men worked custodial jobs and things like that and had uniforms. She'd buy those uniforms for me. And then my tennis shoes usually cost $7. When you're making $5 an hour, you just gotta get by with what you can, right? So she'd buy these clothes for me and I'd go and work. And we'd start working, you know, it's humid there just like it is here. We'd work in the morning, take a break, usually eat some watermelon or something. Work again until lunch, and lunch was whenever the concrete would let us get lunch. You don't have a lunch at 12, you take your lunch when the concrete's ready for you to eat. And then in the afternoon, I'd drive, pick up my books, and go to school. And so I had three sweat lines every day. I had a sweat line that was here. That was from the morning break. Sweat line that was here. That was from the lunch break. And a sweat line that was here. And I mean, literally, the gray pants that I would wear or the khaki shirt that I'd wear would have a salty white, you'd had it, you know what I'm talking about, sweat line, three different places. And I'm telling you, that stuff was not easy. For a guy that had been in the banking business, sitting behind a mahogany desk and a leather chair, that was an experience, to say the least. But I'm going to tell you, as hard as it was to do that and then go to school 4 hours a night, four nights a week, and study and be all that, I knew that I wasn't working for that paycheck. And I knew that I wasn't working for the man. I was working for the Lord. And you know, those concrete tables we made and those concrete steps that we made, I was always conscious of this. I may face these things that we're doing at the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord may say, now this thing you built right here, what's the quality of that work? I'm reminded about Harry Ironside, an old preacher that's long been dead. He went to work for a cobbler back in the day when shoemakers and shoe repairmen were called cobblers. He went to work for a cobbler, and when he did, that man he went to work for said, "Now listen, I've got a competitor in town. Do not go to his store." Well, on one particular occasion, their shop wasn't open, but the competitor was. And Ironside went in there and started visiting with the guy. And he said, "Oh," he says, you seem to have more business than we do down at our store." He said, "Oh, well, that's very easy." He said, "When I put the leather on the soles of these shoes and boots, I put it on wet. It's much easier to work with, so I can get the job done faster. And the other thing about it is it's kind of softens the leather so that the shoes wear out more quickly and the people will come back to me, so I get more business." And Ironside thought that's just the innovation. That's the way we ought to go. So he went back to his store the next day when it was open, and he told his employer what he'd found out. And he said, "Why don't we do that?" He said, "Son, two things. Number one, I told you not to go there." He said, "But secondly, I'm going to tell you something. I don't make these shoes for a living. I make these shoes and I make these repairs and I make these boots for Jesus Christ. And I expect to see every single pair that I work on at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to make sure that I have made something that pleased my master, Jesus Christ." He said, "I am not going to soften leather to make this easier to work with and wear out faster and give my customers an inferior product so I can make more money. I'm here to please Jesus Christ." And don't ever forget that. I'm going to tell you something, that lesson that Harry Ironside learned that day is a lesson that carried him through in the ministry, and he always remembered, "I'm going to have to face God with this sermon. I'm going to have to face God with this counsel. I'm going to have to face God with this ministry. And I need to treat it like that old cobbler treated his shoes and his boots and his repairs." So when you do the work that you do, whatever you do, as in pharmacy or as a mechanic or a teacher and all the variety of jobs that are here, just remember this: you're serving Jesus Christ for a reward, not a man for a paycheck. Just remember that. And that's rewardable. Be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now, I would say the same thing about those of you who volunteer here to teach or to work in the nursery or to clean or to mow or to all the variety, to lead singing and all the varieties of things that you do. You're serving the Lord. And what you're doing is rewardable. Always keep that in mind. The Lord wants to reward you for what you're doing. Do the best that you can. Because he also says, "He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." You know, that's a guiding principle for us. We could do this and that to build a bigger church or to attract a different crowd or whatever. But boy, if that's not what God wants, then we're serving men and not God. We are making a huge mistake there. And I'm telling you, "He that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done." I don't want to face that, do you? No way. So treat your job as a service to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now one other. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I remember when we went to school, there were some guys there that were pretty young and hadn't worked, or not much work. And they said, "How are we going to find a job?" And he told them, he said, "Listen, you go to that employer and said, 'I am teachable. I will do anything you teach me to do. And I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll do it better than a man who's not.'" And a lot of guys got jobs that way. And they learned how to do them and they did them well. And with that hanging over their heads, they had to do it better than the other employees. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. There's a dispute in the Corinthian church over who to follow: Paul, Apollos, Peter. In verse 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Well, planting and watering is what you do when you're gardening and when you're in agriculture, planting crops. So he goes on with this illustration. Verse 7, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Now, He that planteth and he that watereth are one. In other words, we're doing different jobs, but we are one in that what we do, the guy that plants is needs a waterer, and the guy that waters has to have something to water that's been planted. So we're one. And every man shall receive, what is it? His own, what's the next word? Reward. For your work shall be rewarded, he said. His own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. God's husbandry then is like tenant farming. There's a farm that God owns, and you're on it, and you're working in his field. So you're God's husbandry. You're God's building. So he describes what we do as two things, farming and building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So, again, somebody had to lay the foundation, somebody has to build. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. So here we have this building going up, and whatever building materials in that building are gold, silver, and precious stones, they're going to survive that fire. Whatever building materials are in that building that are wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to burn up. So he said, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, verse 13, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That is, whether it's gold, silver, and precious stones, or whether it's wood, hay, and stubble, what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. For your work shall be rewarded. But if any man's work shall be burned, that is, he dealt with the wrong sort of building material, wood, hay, and stubble, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He comes through the fire, but everything he did doesn't. He comes out on the other side, and there's no reward. So here's another thing that then is rewarded. There's elders, as you've seen. There's servants. And then there's laborers. Those that labor in God's husbandry, those, because you are God's husbandry, those that labor in God's building, because that's what's being built here. Now notice, just so you see the companion passage, look at Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll comment. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, and notice that we in the body of Christ comprise what is called God's building. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, that's Gentiles here that have gotten saved, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So that, see that? When we get saved, we are put into this building and we are fitly framed together, and this thing, this building is growing unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we are the habitation of God through the Spirit of God. All right, so the next category, last one we're going to look at tonight, to be rewarded, is laboring in God's husbandry, laboring in God's building. And very simply, Paul described two things that can be done, planting and watering, and God gives the increase. Planting and watering. All right, so what would planting be? Planting, very simply, is, we've said it before, planting the seed. Have you ever talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, well, I didn't get very far in the gospel, but I planted a seed. All right, that's what this is. When you have the opportunity to tell somebody, like a neighbor, like a coworker, like a family member, like a friend, like an acquaintance, maybe even a stranger, something about the Lord Jesus Christ that would encourage this person to consider trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior, you've planted. And planting is not harvesting. You know, we've got farms around here that have recently been planted, and there's little plants about this high. There's nothing there to harvest right now. But I'll tell you, there wouldn't have been anything to harvest if somebody hadn't planted a seed. So planting is a very important thing to do. And we should be very content to do such a thing. All right, I carry tracts in my pocket. Some of you do. I had lunch yesterday with a neighbor of mine. And after lunch, then I paid the bill and left one of these tracts. Planted a seed. People ever gotten saved reading tracts before? Waitresses particularly. You know, when we were in Beeville, there was a restaurant there called The Front Porch. And there were two waitresses that worked there, Barbara and Dale. And we'd leave tracts after every meal. And we left a lot of tracts. Chick published a lot of tracts, and there were a lot of those tracts that got left on that table. One day, Dale showed up in church. Another day, Barbara showed up in church. Dale, I can't remember if she had already saved. I think she was, but her children got saved. And Barbara and her child got saved. And, you know, it was really strange. This is all, we were doing this, 30 years ago. We were doing this 25 years ago. I kid you not, Barbara's daughter was in church Sunday morning here. that resulted from some planting. All right, and so that, just listen, don't give up on this. You say, well, I've tried this and I tried that, and I get tired of talking to people about the Lord and they don't want to listen. Just keep planting. Be strong, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. That's what he said. Don't give up like Asa did and throw in the towel. All right, what's watering? Watering is where some seed has already been planted and you're just furthering the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of that individual. They already know the gospel. They've already been approached. They've already seen a tract, perhaps read a passage of scripture, might already know John 3:16 and a few other scriptures, but they just need somebody to pour a little water on that thing and keep that. Listen, this seed that's been planted here, you know, it's a good thing we got an inch of rain last night. Did you get an inch of rain at your house? Yeah, we got an inch of rain at our house. It's a good thing that rain came down on that thing. As much as this wind is blowing here, that poor little crops needed that thing. If you plant those crops and don't water them, you don't get a harvest. We've seen things that didn't grow right. So dry, cotton didn't bowl out, you know, didn't pop and make the thing. Or sometimes you wilted old head and there's nothing to harvest. So you got to water. And when you do that, you are working, you are laboring together with God. You are God's husbandry. And he uses that illustration to show us a way that we can build. And so what we're going to do here Sunday is we're going to have an evangelistic service. And this is Wednesday night and there's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do you know that you and I still have time to tell somebody that we know in our neighborhood? Let me add a caveat here real quick. I was just talking to somebody and I saw the same thing happen in our case. I'd love to see a house full of lost people here Sunday to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. I believe Jesus would like that, don't you? Because he died for those folks. But be careful. Planting and watering are time-sensitive things. By that I mean, let's say you have a neighbor and you've made a good acquaintance and you say, you know, what about Sunday? And they're kind of blowing you off. Don't blow a long-term possible relationship for a one-time shot. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be wise. If you ask somebody and they didn't come, but you did it well, don't worry about that. You come, you take your seat, because one of these days, that planting and that watering will yield a harvest. So be wise about that. But I'm saying this too. If there's somebody you've been meaning to ask yet and ask yet, be strong. Let not your hands be weak. For your work shall be rewarded. Making that attempt to get something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into the life of that individual is something God can work with. I could go on and on, and I'm not going to do that to you now. But you and I both know there are people. Listen, when Jeff Gross was here, and we took the missionaries out with men, and we were knocking on doors, following up on the Bibles that we passed out at the livestock show, or whatever they call that thing. It's the fair, right? You know what? There was a lady that got saved on that follow-up visit that was not at the fair. She was just sitting on her front porch. She was sitting duck. The first seeds of the gospel planted in her life were planted, 50 years before she got saved. 50 years. She was 65 years old, and the first time she heard the gospel, she heard it from her mother who got saved, listening to Billy Graham, when that girl was 15 years old. 50 years later. Be strong, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Be encouraged about that. Stay with it. God gives the increase. He knows what to do with it once it's in the ground. Amen. Father, thank you so much tonight for encouraging us in the words of God. Thank you for encouraging us as pastors, Lord, to stay with what you've given us, laboring in the word and doctrine. That's where the reward is. Thank you for all of these, Father, that are employed to hear tonight. May they be strong and not their hands be weak, because that rewarded for that service they do to you. And for all of us, Father, here tonight, and those that are volunteering and serving you in that capacity, and those for us tonight, Lord, who can still continue to labor in God's husbandry, may we keep doing faithfully that watering and that planting for Jesus' sake. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.